You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK.
The Punt, William Hill's Top Flight Football Podcast.
Hello and a very warm welcome along to The Punt, brought to you by William Hill. Midweek edition here. We're talking EFL Cup. It's quarter-final time. Still plenty of Premier League sides involved and two from the Championship as well. We've got four matches to come. Sam Norris here on the podcast this week and joining me to offer up his expert opinion, Mr. Dave Kellner. Hello, Dave.
Expert. I like that.
Yeah, indeed.
Good afternoon. Mr. Norris, how are you?
I'm very good, thank you. Yeah, looking forward to a bit of midweek action, and generally quarter-final time is when the Premier League sides begin to take the competition a little bit more seriously.
You'd think so, wouldn't you? I'm looking forward to this midweek edition of the EFL Cup, and I think we're going to see not high-quality teams put out by the Premier League sides, but I think we're going to see Premier League sides winning at this stage of the competition, and we've got some good prices on offer as well this midweek. And obviously we've got Leeds travelling to Liverpool. A big club like Leeds going to minnows like Liverpool.
Yes.
this midweek.
We have to hold that opinion in this office, to be fair.
Obviously.
Otherwise we'll be chased out.
We are based in Leeds, so that's the opinion you've got to have. Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. It's not the most attractive competition in the world. We were talking about that off air, and it can be forgotten about sometimes, but I think there's some good prices this midweek.
Yeah, absolutely. We begin with what is the tie of the round for many, Liverpool versus Leeds, then on Tuesday night, 7:45 kickoff. 1-4 in the betting for Liverpool, 5-1 the draw, and 12-1 for Leeds. We've got to qualify markets as well. This is just a one-legged affair. Liverpool in the betting at 1-12 to progress. Leeds are 6-1, and for the first time in a long while, there's a real positivity around Leeds at the moment. Gary Monk's done a fantastic job this season. He has them up to in and around the top six, but Liverpool on their day, Dave, going forward, they can be absolutely phenomenal. This will be a real stiff test for the Championship outfit.
It will, the fifth now, Leeds. Mm. That is some going for Leeds United Football Club. There is that optimism there, I think, now with Gary Monk's introduction, and he's done so well, and hopefully his relationship with Massimo Cellino, which hasn't been mentioned in the press in a while, hopefully it will stay that way, and Gary Monk will get a prolonged run with Leeds United. But they are doing well. This is a different prospect heading to Anfield, though. It's okay doing it in the Championship, and they are up to fifth now, but going up against a Premier League side is a different kettle of fish entirely. And you look at their record in League Cup games against Premier League opposition, they've lost 9 of their last 11 League Cup games against teams from the Premier League, including each of the last 4 away games in that spell as well. And Liverpool, as you mentioned, going forward, they've been expressive. They've not been beaten in 3 months, Liverpool. And they have got a couple of injury problems coming into this match. He wouldn't have fielded a full-strength side anyway, Jurgen Klopp. But Philip Coutinho was carted off on Saturday, and they're without Adam Lallana still as well. So two of their top players in midfield missing here. So he's likely to go with either Divock Origi or Daniel Sturridge or both of them on this occasion. But Liverpool priced, as you would expect, 1-4. It's weird that they're 1-4 to win this game, but they were 2-11 to beat Sunderland at the weekend.
Yeah.
I think that's what's built into that price is Sunderland are one of the poorer sides in the Premier League. Leeds are on a high, but also the compilers know that Jurgen Klopp isn't going to play his full starting 11.
Yes,
here.
Yes, correct. 1-4 they are to qualify. As you said, it looks fairly skinny on the face of it. Is it a handicap prospect this game?
I think so. I think they'll win easily, Liverpool, in all honesty. I like Daniel Sturridge to score first in this match. I think 6-10 he is to score anytime, 13-5 to score first. Obviously, check team selection. It's either going to be Sturridge or Origi up front, you would think. Both have got a good record in this competition. Daniel Sturridge is actually the only player that scored more goals than Chris Wood in the tournament this season so far. He's got 4 and Chris Wood has got 3. But Sturridge scored twice in that previous round against Spurs, scored the first and second goals in that game. I think 13-5 is fair for him. I watched Leeds' performance against Newcastle, the game where they were beaten 2-0 recently, and I thought that second goal that Dwight Gayle scored highlighted the deficiencies in the Leeds United defence when the ball is moved around quickly. That's what Liverpool do best, and that's where Leeds United are going to to get caught out here. I think they'll move the ball, as they always do, well, Liverpool, and they'll expose Leeds United in those areas. And Daniel Sturridge to score first at 13-5 is my idea of a good bet. To score any time is 6-10. And I can just see Leeds maybe nicking one through Chris Wood, perhaps. He's 9-4 to score any time in the match. But Liverpool have looked a little bit more sturdy defensively, having kept back-to-back clean sheets. Liverpool to win and both teams to score 8-5 it is. But I do prefer Liverpool -1 in this match. That's 1-2 Liverpool to win minus a goal, which I didn't think. I'd only just checked that price.
Yes.
I didn't think it would be that short. So I'll be going with Sturridge to score and Liverpool to win as my main bet here. Daniel Sturridge to score, Liverpool to win 8-11. Obviously, again, check team news,
yes,
but that's my best bet here.
Okay, he's been very much the cup striker then for Jurgen Klopp this season. Daniel Sturridge to score in a Liverpool win for Dave, priced up at 8-11. We move on to the second tie then on Tuesday night, and this one features the other Championship side. Newcastle travel to Hull. It's 23-10 here for Premier League Hull. The draw is also 23-10, and Newcastle are 13-10 for this match. We saw a bit of a shock at the weekend when Newcastle were beaten by lowly Blackburn. Rafa has obviously shown in that game his team selection how serious he's taking the competition, rested a few players at the weekend, obviously with this meeting at Hull in mind, but Hull will be desperate to take a win from anywhere, Dave. They almost can't afford to rest players. They need to get the morale back.
Yeah, I think they're a good price. I think they're a very good price, Hull City, here at 23-10. I was looking at this game and before I saw the prices and thinking this is going to be a pick'em here.
Yes,
because Newcastle are the better side, I think, now. But they're travelling away from home for this fixture. So there's got to be some advantage built into the Hull price here for them being at home. But I don't think there is. I think they're a massive price here, Hull City, at 23-10. If you said to me who were the more likely winners, I'd maybe just say Newcastle. Mm. But at these prices, and you've got to look at it from a betting perspective, I think Hull City are miles too big. Even if I thought Newcastle were definitely going to win, I wouldn't be interested in backing them at this price. Newcastle are 2 points clear at the top of the Championship, but as you mentioned, beaten at home against Blackburn on Saturday, so they're clearly not infallible. And I still think Hull are maybe the worst side in the Premier League. And I mentioned on the Pump podcast at the weekend, if you backed Hull to finish bottom of the Premier League table, I think you'll still be confident of cashing that ticket at the end of the season.
Yes.
But they made a decent go at it at home against West Brom, having fallen 1-0 behind and got a point there. Prior to that, they'd beaten Southampton 2-1 at home, and Southampton have been one of the more impressive teams in the Premier League this season from a results point of view. So that was a good performance. They've obviously won three straight to get to this point in the League Cup. Hull, that's their best ever run in the competition. And Newcastle have played in 8 League Cup quarterfinals, winning just one of those games. They've lost 6 of them, and they've also lost each of their last 5 quarterfinal ties in that run, and they've failed to score on each occasion, conceding 10 goals. So I think Hull are just too big here. It's plain and simple, 23-10. Hull are just too big a price to beat Newcastle on Tuesday night.
23-10 then in the 90-minute market for Hull. And for you, fancy them to get the job done, but maybe not in normal time. 6-5 to qualify. Still getting an odds against price if they do it in extra time or in penalties. Could be worth a look. We'll move on to Wednesday night's fixtures now, beginning with the All-Premier League affair between Arsenal and Southampton. This one 1:15 kickoff. It's 17-20 for Arsenal. Draw 13-5. Southampton are 7-2. Couple of enhanced odds here surrounding Aaron Ramsey and Charlie Austin. Arsenal, I suspect they might be the least full strength team in this round. I can see them making the most changes, perhaps.
Yeah, possibly so. I think that Southampton are overpriced here at 7-2. I wouldn't want to back Arsenal at odds on, because I'm sure that he will make changes here, Arsene Wenger. I think Alexis Sanchez will be rested. If you're playing Alexis Sanchez midweek, weekend, he's shown throughout his career, because he's so hard-working on the practice pitch,
yes,
that he's going to get injured if you keep doing that with Alexis Sanchez. I was quite surprised he started against Bournemouth at the weekend, or started up front anyway. I thought that Olivier Giroud might have been given opportunity. I think Olivier Giroud will start in this match here, and Alexis Sanchez will be rested. But Arsene Wenger has talked about how nailing Alexis Sanchez down to a new contract is uppermost in his thoughts at the moment. And you can see why, because he's talismanic for this team. even though he has a habit of maybe drifting in and out against big teams, when you're playing mid-table to lower table teams in the Premier League, he is always influential. And we saw that against Bournemouth with those two goals on Sunday afternoon. And there's a lot of talk about Mesut Ozil being the only world-class player in this team. I think Robbie Savage has written a piece on it recently about Ozil being the world-class player and Alexis Sanchez not quite being at that point yet. But I think Alexis Sanchez is Arsenal's most important player. Mm. When he doesn't play, this team doesn't tick. And I think he'll be rested for this game with a look ahead to the weekend. But that win against Bournemouth was a good performance from Arsenal, one that they needed because they'd drawn against Manchester United when they were dominated for large periods at Old Trafford, and they were battered against PSG, in all honesty, and were lucky to get that 2-2 draw. Arsenal did beat Southampton at the Emirates 2-1 back in September as well. But interestingly, a couple of years ago, they played each other in the, what was the League Cup back then, now the EFL Cup, and Southampton went to the Emirates and won 2-1 on that occasion. Southampton have been knocked out at this stage of the competition in each of their last 7 attempts. So this is usually where Southampton get here and that's it, basically. Yes. I can see them winning this game at 7-2, or at least getting a draw out of the game. I think the handicap market's the way to play this. I'd be looking at Southampton +1 as my bet here. I think that's a good bet at 19-20, Southampton plus a goal.
Okay, Southampton. What do you think? Or the draw? No, yeah, I agree. I think Arsene Wenger's become almost famed for resting players in this competition. I know, as I said right at the top of the piece, sides begin to take it a little bit more seriously when we get to this stage. But I can't see a full strength Arsenal side being put out by any stretch of the imagination here.
And I talked about how Southampton have a poor record at this stage of the competition. Something that I think you're talking about here is how Arsenal, with Wenger, maybe resting players, they have a tendency not to progress past the quarterfinals either. You look at their record recently, they've won just one of their last 5 League Cup quarterfinals. That last win in the League Cup in the quarterfinals came with a 2-0 win against Wigan. That was back in 2010-2011. One player, if you're looking for a goal scorer here, Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain. You'd expect him to start in this game. He's 11-5 to score any time. He's actually scored Arsenal's last 3 goals in the EFL Cup, Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain. So if he is in that starting 11, 11-5 for him to score any time looks decent. But I'll be going against the grain here and taking Southampton +1. Shade of odds on. Did you say 19-20?
19-20 it is, yeah.
I don't mind that at all.
Okay, Southampton or the draw, then the pick for DK. We'll move on to the final quarter-final then. This one, an 8 o'clock kickoff on Wednesday evening. Manchester United versus West Ham. It's 1-2 for United here. 130 the draw, and West Ham are 6-1. These two sides, of course, bumped heads at the weekend. They played on Sunday. It finished 1-1. Jose Mourinho, again, almost made all the headlines for himself. Was sent to the stands for the second time this month, I believe. United were 2-5 to get the job done at the weekend. 1-2 midweek. Are you envisaging a similar game to the one we saw in the league?
Probably. That's been the narrative with Manchester United throughout the season, really. Dominating possession, creating chances, but profligate in front of goal. And we saw it again at the weekend against West Ham in a game they should definitely have won, but could have lost right at the death as well. David De Gea made a point-blank save. I think it was from Ashley Fletcher. Mm. And Manchester United haven't been clinical enough in front of goal. I think the goals will start to flow. And mentioned this on the podcast a couple of weeks ago, Zlatan Ibrahimovic is still getting in the right places, having shots on target, but they're not going in at the moment. The goals will come for Zlatan Ibrahimovic. My concern at the moment, as far as Manchester United are concerned, is more from a management perspective. Mourinho seems to have completely lost it.
Yes.
You mentioned that he's been sent to the stand twice in a month, basically. And he's become a little bit petulant. And I don't think he knows what his best 11 is, really. He's still playing Paul Pogba in that deep-lying role. Pogba's not impressed since he's come to the club, really.
Mm.
A few cameo appearances.
Yes.
And has a tendency to produce a wonderful ball at a perfect moment, and that's papering over the cracks currently.
Too often it's come against the lesser lights in Europe as well. It's all well and good looking good against Zoya or Fenerbahce in Europe, but he hasn't been doing it, certainly for his price tag as well, week in, week out, when it's been expected of him. Although it was a good ball in for the goal on Sunday.
He's got that. He can produce a moment of magic. But I think he's a little bit lazy. And playing in that two where Mourinho's played him, that deep lying role alongside Ander Herrera, doesn't play to his strengths, because you've got to track back quickly if you lose the ball. He ambles back, a la Yaya Toure in many ways, where he's great with the ball at his feet, pinging passes around, but when you need to dig in and get back, when you're susceptible on the counter-attack, he doesn't do that. And there was an incident late on in the match against West Ham where Wayne Rooney's playing in the number 10 role. They lose the ball and West Ham hit quickly on the counter-attack, and Wayne Rooney sprints past Paul Pogba. He shouldn't be able to do that, really.
Yes.
Paul Pogba should be the man getting back if he's being made to play in that midfield axis just in front of the back four. But I think tactically it's just a little bit lacking for Mourinho at the moment. And I'm not going to sit here and tell Mourinho his tactics are nonsense, but
they are.
I'm surprised Pogba's not playing further forward.
Yes.
For Manchester United. And I think they're too short here at 1-2 to win this game as well, in all honesty. They have got a great record in home league cup games against Premier League sides. You look at their last 24 home league cup games against the top flight teams, they've won 22 and drawn 1, which is amazing. They've only lost against Chelsea. That was back in January 2005 when they lost that game 2-1. And Mourinho's got a magnificent record in this competition as well. He's not lost a game in the League Cup since December 2013, winning 8 and drawing 2 since then. My memory goes back to that meeting in the League Cup in 2010-2011, though, when West Ham won 4-0 in the quarterfinal. And that's still their largest margin of victory over a Premier League side in the competition as well. I think they're too short, Manchester United, just instinctively. I think it could be a draw again here. I reckon we might see carbon copy of the game on Sunday, where Manchester United have a lot of possession but can't break down West Ham, or they're just not clinical enough in front of goal. And 100-30 for this to be a draw looks good to me. And it will be intriguing to see what sort of side Mourinho lines up here as well, sends out for this match. Does Anthony Martial, who was left out of the squad, and there's reports that he's going to be given one last chance by Mourinho in Monday morning's papers, does he start in this match, or does Henrik Mkhitaryan get another go? Bastian Schweinsteiger was in the squad for the first time on Sunday as well. They need Michael Carrick, really. He picked up a strain, and I'm not sure whether he's going to be available. But him playing alongside Herrera is just the best combination in that central midfield. And Pogba won't be available for this game as well, so it'd be intriguing to see. He's suspended, so it'd be intriguing to see if Manchester United perform better without Pogba in the side. And if he wasn't a £100 million player, Paul Pogba, would he have already been dropped by Jose Mourinho this season?
I think he would have, to be fair. Yeah, absolutely. It's interesting what you say there about squad selection. Mkhitaryan and Schweinsteiger it is now, but even right to the start of the season, the treatment of Juan Mata, who's gone on to be one of Manchester United's better, if not most important players this season. At the start of the year, he didn't look in Mourinho's plans at all. Mkhitaryan's come back, played very well in Europe, didn't excel necessarily when he came off the bench on Sunday, but he does seem to be sort of backtracking, and it's as if he's run out of options.
Yeah, I think so. And Michael Carrick, remember, he was ostracised at the start of the season. He didn't play many games, and then he's been brought back into the squad, and when he's fit, I think Mourinho realises now how influential Carrick is with the personnel he's got at the club at the moment, Mourinho. Whether or not he's going to be allowed to spend bundles in either January or the summer, Mourinho, I just wonder whether the board are now questioning their decision to bring Mourinho to this football club, given how tumultuous his time at Chelsea was last season. Whether they view it as a mistake now, or will they allow Mourinho to go out and spend money again? Mourinho's proved critics wrong in the past, and maybe he'll do so again, but maybe he won't. We'll have to see. But yeah, I'm not sure he knows his best squad or his best starting 11 or how to set them up from a positional point of view at the moment, Mourinho. So it's going to be an interesting next 4 or 5 months, because Manchester United's hopes of getting in the top four hanging by a thread, yes, really, at the moment. And if there's no Champions League football for Manchester United next season, it'd be a bit of a disaster, really.
It would indeed. 130 then for the draw, Manchester United versus West Ham on Wednesday. Thank you very much for that, Dave. Good luck with the selections, and I hope you enjoy the EFL Cup this week.
Thank you, Mr. Norris.
And remember, you can join us on William Hill's In-Play Radio on both Tuesday and Wednesday night with in-depth previews of all four games. The guys on there will have every angle covered. Thank you very much for listening, and best of luck with all of your bets midweek.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.